With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Tennis.com podcast, and here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hey everyone, first Wimbledon podcast of the fortnight. I am Ed McGrogan here talking with Steve Tigner, both in New York watching the tournament. Pete Bodo, of course, covering the event for us over in England. Wanted to get a little first round wrap today that didn't really end up happening. It's about first round's about three quarters of the way done. A lot of rain took out the last few matches of the evening, so those are going to be put on a pretty packed Wednesday schedule. Steve, before I get to day two, since it's kind of looking back at round one here, the biggest result to me, certainly how Venus Williams went down yesterday, a match that obviously you can chalk up, I think, to physical, you know, her limitations really, but I don't think anybody really expected her to lose in that type of fashion to Vesnina, and then really the kind of the questions afterwards somewhat expectedly all centered on whether she was going to keep going for and how much longer. So I just kind of wanted to get your impressions of Williams and, you know, maybe where she's at right now.
Well, having seen her at the French Open lose to Radwanska in a really, you know, tough way, she could really seem like she could barely move. I didn't really expect, I felt like you never knew what you were going to get from day to day with her, and I think that's true physically. She could have one of those days and lose to anybody. Vesnina's played well and is pretty good, but, you know, Venus obviously wasn't at her best. But aside from that, it's sort of hard to know what's going to happen with her. It's tough to listen to her press conferences because she obviously wants to keep trying. She really was focused on the Olympics, and I think she's really playing because she wants to make the Olympic team, and now she has. So these matches, so I think it seems like she wants to continue, but she doesn't even know, you know, 3 months, a year from now, exactly where she'll be. I think she seems honest in that she wants to keep going. But you wonder how long you can keep playing, not knowing what you're going to be like physically from day to day and having no control over it.
Yeah, it's tough for me. I was just talking to you before about Venus. It was really, you know, I listened to that conference as well. I'm kind of still kind of back and forth on all of it. I guess I compare her a lot to Serena in that both of them have really had extended lapses of idle time, just, you know, out because of injuries, illness, things like that. And we have seen Serena come back to really almost her form of before. Venus, I think not, and of course not through any fault of her own really, just hasn't really climbed back to that height. And I wonder if that really might have any effect on that. And I do think this Olympic thing that's kind of been one of the themes this entire tennis year, it does seem to me like it would be kind of an appropriate swan song, but I'm not sure about that, but that's kind of the impression I did get after a presser that wasn't entirely convincing about, you know, whether she really wanted to kind of soldier on for a few more years. So
she sounded more convincing to me at Roland Garros that she wanted to than she did at this. I don't know if that has any meaning or whether that's true, but I came away from that one a little more thinking, okay, she really does want to continue her career. This one seemed a little more of an opening for her to, you know, maybe she would get tired of this, you know, of these playing with these problems.
One more thing on day one before we move on to today is another American, John Isner. This was the Tennis Magazine cover jinx here. Isner's been pretty dreadful since that came out, actually. This was, you know, French Open, I think a lot was maybe a lot of unnecessary pressure was put on. He goes out in the, you know, 34-game fifth set. But this, you know, Wimbledon here yesterday against Faya, a guy who almost beat Federer a few years ago, but a guy that, you know, with Isner moving himself into a what seemed like a consistent, you know, presence in top 15 and ends up going down in five sets and really doesn't, despite holding a match point, you know, it was never kind of that imposing figure that he's been cutting since the beginning of the year. So, you know, I think, especially following Isner pretty closely this year and talking to him, that, you know, this summer with these two slams, this can be considered nothing but an incredible disappointment thus far.
Yeah, you know, with Venus, we know the reason. With Isner, it's really all on him, and that's what he said yesterday, both at the French Open and this tournament. He really was hard on himself, and as he should be. He didn't show a lot of, and frankly, he didn't show a lot of heart or desire in either of these tournaments, which is strange. I was thinking about it yesterday. Right at the moment he was losing, Ernest Gulbis was beating Tomas Berdych. If you had said earlier in the spring at Indian Wells, where Isner reached the final and Gulbis lost in the first round, as he had, you know, as he had been for a long time, that these two would be in this position now, you know, nobody would have believed it. I guess it's sort of a cliche, but it also reminds me of when people say it also shows just how good the very top players are these days for being so consistent. When you see guys like Gulbis and Isner kind of trading places every few months, you know, one guy's up, one guy's down, they can't sustain it. Either they get burned out or their pressure's too much for them. There's really only seem to be a few guys who can do it, and they do it, you know, extremely well. But it is disappointing. Isner, through the spring, really, you know, really looked like a hope for American tennis for the next few years, a solid top 10 guy, which he still could be, but you wonder about his mentality now, and even his ability to play on a surface like grass. Besides the famous match with Mahou, he's never done much on grass.
No, and he avoided what would have been a third straight one with Mahou, actually, just as odd as that kind of couple has, really the oddest couple in tennis, I think. That's what would have happened. And that was, of course, today, day two. Like I said, the tennis that we got to see out of there. I know you're putting together kind of a little compilation piece on today. So really, what did you watch a lot of today? Maybe some odds and ends of what you saw. There was not too much in the way of significant upsets. There were some, I think, pretty strong first-round pairings involving some of the bigger names. But maybe just some thoughts on the second day of play.
I watched Nadal. He went down love four in the first set. He really started pretty tentatively. He was chipping his, you know when he's chipping his forehand return, that he's not feeling very confident. And Bellucci, who has a tough lefty serve, sort of had him, you know, was playing really well and had Rafa pretty nervous at first. But then when Nadal got back and won the first set, you knew he was in good shape. Still, at the end, I would not say it was a great performance from Rafa. He never really got his backhand going, but, you know, the important thing in the first round is to survive. Another match I watched, outer court match, was Grigor Dimitrov beat Kevin Anderson in four sets. It's a pretty good win for Dimitrov in that he really had to stay with it. Playing Anderson on grass court can be frustrating. Guy hits a lot of big serves. The sets were really close. Neither guy could get away from each other, but, you know, Dimitrov showed some toughness in this match. He's always been a flashy player, but may have lacked some of that toughness, so that was a good win for him. And I watched a little of Serena's match. It was pretty routine until the end when she was broken serving for the match. And there was a little bit of a moment when you felt like she was remembering the French Open first round that she had pretty much had in the bag and then lost. Serena got a little tight and she was pretty relieved to win. I think she'll be fine with that. But you could tell there were just a moment of nerves, maybe a little memory from Roland Garros.
I felt the same thing kind of watching that one, and I think you saw sort of the reactions from Serena, I think, internalizing that same moment there. I think a loss of what happened to her at the French is, you know, kind of had to be exercised at this point, and you know, just to get one win under her belt there, you know, that's and of course the her and Maria matchup that I think a lot of people, you know, want to see. Obviously, that's, you know, we can't obviously look too far ahead because of what we saw in Roland Garros, of course. A couple other day two results I looked at a lot. One of the earlier results of the day was Marty Fish playing first time since Miami, winning, you know, to win 7-6, 7-5, 7-6 after that kind of layoff was surprising to see. It was against Ramirez. Hidalgo ended up not even doing press actually after the match. I think tied back to his, still lingering health concerns. Another match I wanted to bring up, you had Brian Baker, not letting this story go really, and just really kind of keep doing the hard work here. He wins in straights as well. A match Pete wrote about, Goffin and Tomic. Tomic admitting after the match that it was kind of just really been slacking off for a little while, and I think this was kind of the coda on all that. You probably caught some of that, didn't you? I know you were interested in it.
Tomic, I watched some of Brian Baker. He was, impressively solid. He seems to have a great attitude. When he was interviewed afterwards, he said, "Well, you have to believe you can win any match, and then anything can happen." He sort of has the opposite attitude of some of the Americans we've seen at this tournament, Donald Young and John Isner, who seem to go in not really believing in themselves these days. And as far as Tomic, he reminded me of Isner as well, really hard on himself afterwards, and even just admitting that he's been lazy, and even saying some odd things that at his age it's good for him to lose, as if he has to learn how to lose before he can win. Maybe that's true, but he's definitely taking the long view of things.
One of the strangest things for me today, though, definitely is the All England Club not electing to keep the roof down, lights on, had a match, Wozniacki and Pacek, I believe, on center. You could finish the match there. They do kind of have to get all the, as many matches as they can in there. So, if you're the U.S. Open, it's you look at that and you say, well, it's almost like they have a roof and still don't want to use it. You kind of think of what the U.S. Open's predicament is. So it was kind of a strange ending to a day that was a little unsatisfying, I suppose, with all these matches still to be completed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a head scratcher, the decision. I don't think anybody had a good reason why they didn't just finish, play out that match for the fans who were there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's good for, like I said, three quarters of round one complete. I think we'll get back after round two, Steve and I, to kind of recap where things are at that point. It'll be seed versus seed, heading into the weekend here. So for Steve Tigner, I'm Ed McGrogan. Thanks for listening. Tennis.com podcast.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.